Welcome to the Ultimate Farm Wife podcast. On this channel, we're going to be discussing all things marrying a farmer, moving to the land, and becoming integrated with a family farming operation. Whether you're moving to the farm for the first time, or whether you're moving back into a family farming operation, we discuss the ins and the outs of all of it. So let's jump into today's episode.
Hi, and welcome to the farm. Today we're talking So You've Married a Farmer, Now What, with Ricky Lee. Ricky, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're more than welcome.
Ricky, yourself, your family, and your farm.
So our family consists of myself, my partner Thomas, my 14-year-old son Aiden. You've got 4-year-old Sadie and 1-year-old Scarlett. So we're located out in Budgerie in Gippsland in Victoria, and we run 500 acres of beef cattle.
Wonderful. And so how did you meet your husband, and how did you end up there on farm?
So basically what had happened was I had gone to a country football mid-season ball, and that's how I met Thomas there. And then, yeah, I think it was a couple of weeks later we kind of, things kicked off. I didn't even know this place existed. So I lived 25 minutes from Budgerie. And, yeah, then I end up out here probably 3 years later.
Yeah. So, Ricky, what was your background before marrying Thomas and moving to the farm?
So I was a manager at McDonald's for a very long period of time. I'd done bits of, like, admin work, but now I was in admin for about 6-7 years, so as an employment consultant.
Yeah. And had you ever been on farm before?
Oh, God, no.
What was your first impressions of the farm?
When I came out here, I thought it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. It's like a little piece of paradise that I didn't know about. But once I started, like, tagging along for, like, jobs and things like that, I honestly had no idea what I was getting myself into.
Tell us more about that time.
So, obviously, with, like, the beef farming, it's a lot of tractor work and things like that. So I wasn't used to the hard manual labor of, like, having to take silage wrap off, unwrapping hay bales, all of those kinds of things. I was very accustomed to town life, having those comforts so close by. And, yeah, I would say I was a little bit of a princess. So I was born in town. I had everything at my hands. Out here, everything's not so close by. It's hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. How was the adjustment from going from having everything at hand, just being able to duck down the shops, to then everything being about 45 minutes away, having to be a lot more self-sustainable? Tell us about that transition.
It was hard, or it was more of an inconvenience to get in your car and drive anywhere because it was so far away. So you had to be prepared more than anything. Thomas's mum, Jean, she is the master of all of that. She, like, lives off the things that she grows, chickens, all of those kinds of things. So she taught me that I didn't need to go, like, to the shopping centre every single day. You just make do with what you've got.
Yeah, that's so amazing to have someone there so close to you to be able to teach those transferable skills. So when she was talking about, you know, that transition and being more prepared, did you talk about the shelf stability of food? Did you talk about what do you need in what numbers and what quantities? Did you end up getting your own chooks?
I don't have my own chickens. My girls have gotten, like, are getting older and they want chickens now. So that's something that's on the cards. Tom knows he has to build a chicken coop for them. So, he will do that eventually. It's on the list. But, yeah, Jean showed me a lot of things. She does a lot of cooking, freezes meals, she pickles things, jams, all of those kinds of things. She's shown me how to do all of that kind of stuff. I haven't attempted it yet. She does it for me, so I'm pretty lucky. But, yeah, she is showing me that you can just live off the basics. You don't have to have a cupboard, like, full of food.
Yeah.
She can make a meal out of anything. So it's been good. She's a good mother-in-law.
Yeah, it's an amazing skill set to have, and I'm so glad that you've got that resource at your fingertips. How did you go with going from having a constant water supply to then being on tank water? Did things like that really impact the way that you needed to train, like change how you thought about things?
Yeah, so there was no more 40-minute showers, especially in summer, because we've only upgraded to a larger size tank in probably the last 2 years. We had a small cement tank. Yep. So if you used all of that, you have to find someone that would cart water to your house and fill it up, or you'd have to pump it up from the dam or up from another tank, which it's a nuisance. So you just have to, you would empty your sink and put it into the garden. Yep. Or, I don't know, like the kids with the bath. Only a little bit of water. So yeah, you didn't have, like, I don't know, like the showers just had to cut back. I had to adjust to that, washing like clothes and things like that. Have to eco-friendly cycles and things like that. So you had to be very mindful of what you did, especially in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. How did you go with personal care with that? So a lot of other Ultimate Farm Wives who have interviewed on the channel, when they go from being on town water to then having to really think and save water on farm, a lot of them have self-care routines around that bathroom area. Did you have like self-care in that area, and then how did you have to adapt that to be on farm?
Not really. I mean, I've been pretty lucky. Yeah. We haven't been through a drought. So I think the longest period we've been without rain was 3 months, Tom said, and that was before I moved out here. Yes. So I haven't had to really pull the strings in on anything like that.
Oh, that's so lucky. I'm so glad to hear that area is fairly well separated. So, Ricky, you and Thomas got married. You've had your kids on farm. And so is there certain things that you've really learnt along the way that you really wish that you had known before moving to the farm, or advice to give to those who are moving to the farm for the first time?
My advice when moving to a farm for the first time, it's going to be hard work. It's hard work. These people have been on farms their whole lives. They're accustomed to what they do, where we're coming in to their world. Yeah. You can't change their world. As I said, it's hard work, and you have to be prepared to work hard. You're going to have moments where you break down. It's going to happen. It's a completely different lifestyle. That was the advice that was given to me: be prepared to work hard.
Yeah.
And be sore. Sore. My first week, yeah, I was so sore. But yeah, work hard. And it kind of, like, my mum said to me, she couldn't believe I was actually moving out here, but she said to me that you're going to learn some really good life lessons. She goes, these people don't have things handed to them. Everything they do on the farm has a purpose, and they do it for a reason. So, yeah, they're the things that people told me before I moved out here. And then I got, a few people laughed at me, but, we got past that.
Yeah. And did you find that how you adapted to that was through listening and watching, or was there certain other things, tactics that you did do to make that transition a bit easier, knowing that advice?
So basically what I did for a while out here was I would just sit in the ute and watch. Obviously dealing with animals, you can't just jump straight in. They can be quiet, like cows can be notorious for just doing what they want. And if you're in their way, too bad. So I did a lot of watching and listening, and then I would look on the internet and things like that. Yeah. I spent a lot of time in that ute watching.
Yeah, that's a great way to jump in and embrace farm life, is to go along and to see what Tom is doing on the farm, and to see what our partners are doing, and really learn from that. Because even if you come from a farming background, each enterprise and family farm is so different, the way they do things. And sitting and watching and listening is a great way to start. I'm really glad that you had the advice in the lead up that farming is not easy, because I think so many of us jump in with a romantic view of farming. And that can sort of sometimes lead to hardship. You mentioned that, you know, you will have a breakdown, and same as if you've come from a farming background or whether you come from the city, there's going to be days that you have breakdowns. Is there particular ways that you let yourself do that and then get back on the horse, so to speak? Like, what are the things that make you get back up and just keep going every day?
You've got to talk to your partner. You've got to tell them, yes, they've been doing that their whole life, and they've got to understand that you're new to this as well. So you have to communicate. You can't just bottle it up, because that's when the problems start. Those farmers, they need someone that is quite strong. And if you communicate the way you feel about situations and things like that, they're more likely to go, okay, well, it didn't work this way for you. Let's show you a different way that we do it. Yeah. Or Tom just put me back onto gate duty. He goes, we'll start you back here. Less stressful. So you've got to communicate. If you don't communicate, that's when you're going to break down. The relationship's going to break down. And they can't afford to have those problems as well, especially on a farm and a family farm. So you've got to communicate, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So do you think when you moved to the farm for the first time, was your major hurdle around that convenience that we've spoken about earlier in today's episode, or was there other hurdles that you really needed to really overcome, and how did you overcome those?
Yeah, so the convenience was one thing, and I couldn't understand at the start why you couldn't just up and go somewhere holiday. I couldn't understand that at the start. And yes, I learnt pretty quick, you can't just up and leave. These animals have to be fed. Water has to be filled. It's not as easy as just walking away and leaving them. It was always explained to me, cows have a brain. They're smart. You have to look after them. So, yeah, I just couldn't understand why we couldn't go on those dinner dates or those romantic nights. Our romantic nights now consist of, like, going out and feeding the cows together without the children. So, yeah, I couldn't, yeah, I wrapped my head around it eventually, that, like, that's what farmers do. We don't really leave. You can't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was another, yeah, hurdle. I just couldn't get my head around at the start, was why we couldn't do all of these things.
Yeah.
But we got there.
So glad that you were able to communicate that with your husband and have those conversations. It is actually quite amazing the things that you can do on farm that make up for those dates, or that classifies for dates, whether it's a parts run or feeding the cattle, or whether you just pack a picnic and eat it down the paddock, or whatever it is. Like, you can definitely turn those moments into really high impact one-on-one time, or even if it is with the kids. Like, if you're taking the kids down the paddock for a picnic, they just absolutely love that.
Yeah.
So love that you were able to find moments like that instead of trying to fight against just leaving the farm to do something. When it came to bigger time periods off farm, so when we do talk about holidays, how do you and Tom go around that?
So we recently went on we went away for 5 days. That was huge. We went to Bermagui. We were lucky enough that we have Tom's brother who lives probably 10 minutes down the road, and he was able to come help. But there was so much preparation that went into that holiday, not just the holiday itself, but beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Tom was out there the morning before we left, feeding all of the cows, just so it wasn't so hard on Tom's dad. He is a lot older and he's retired, so someone only had to come every second day and feed those animals. So that was a milestone going on that holiday.
Yeah, yes, no, absolutely is. And I can definitely agree, the lead up to going anywhere is massive, and it can take weeks in preparation for that. And then the same as when you get back from your holiday, like, it's really big to, like, anything that didn't get done during this period then banks, and you've got to do that either before or after you get back. When I was talking with some friends about, you know, times that we do leave the farm, so we're getting much better at leaving either first thing in the morning or knowing that we're probably not going to get away until after lunch.
Yeah.
Because guaranteed the morning you're going to go away, a pipe's going to break, or the stock are going to get out, or something like that. It's going to happen. So usually, or even sometimes we'll leave like the night before, like we'll be like, okay, it's 10 o'clock at night and you're in and we're packed and let's go.
Yeah.
We'll try and get a couple of hours under the belt and check in somewhere early in the morning. Just trying to work out what suits you best and the farm best.
If you're enjoying listening along with us today and learning some tips, tricks and advice, then please like, subscribe and even share this interview with someone who you think would need to hear this information or who might benefit from other interviews done right here on this channel. Now let's get back into today's episode.
Because you've got a set leave date and you've got a set arrival date. Do you usually work out distance? So, okay, if you are going away for the 5 days, which you said was big for you and a big milestone to hit, and I completely agree and understand with that, I usually set a distance that we're like, okay, we're going beyond this distance because if something is needed on farm or something breaks down or the cows need to have gotten out, we're not within the distance where we can just turn around and come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've set up people to look after the farm, like your father-in-law, like your brother-in-law, to come and fix that for you. And you're outside that distance scope so that you're not likely to come back. Did you and Tom set anything else like that up for your trip away?
Not really. What we did was in the morning we got up, we were packed, ready to go. We were going to leave here and get to Bermagui at some stage that day. But we had phone calls backwards and forwards with, like, Tom's dad, John, just to make sure everything was going right. We had a backup plan if something was to go wrong. We had other friends at Milk down the road as well that could come and give them a hand. And then Robert, Tom's brother, was on his own for the last 3 days because John and Jean, Tom's parents, joined us at Bermagui.
Yeah.
And that was another big milestone because they hadn't been on a holiday together for such a long time. There were heaps of planning went into it, but once we were in that car, we were gone.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it usually just them that milks on farm, or do they also have employees?
These are our friends that milk. They milk themselves, so they milk morning and night. So if anything happened during the day, they're only a phone call away.
Yeah, it's so nice to have those backups and systems in place when you are wanting to leave the farm, whether it's for a day or whether it is for a holiday and a time period off. So I'm really glad that you were all able to work around those logistics and you did have those backup plans. Vicky, finding your new self on farm, particularly when you first moved and then when you entered into your motherhood journey on farm, there is always something to value add to the farm and something to find your place. And you've found something that really suits you, that you are passionate about. So would you like to tell us about that?
So my passion out here is my sheep.
Yeah.
I love my sheep so much. Well, I love my kids, but I love my sheep as well. So I do deal with like the potty calves. Not this year, but the previous year I was with my father-in-law doing those. So we get about 30 of those in, and I help do all of that, and I love them so much. And my sheep live in the paddock right next to the house, so I can keep an eye on them every day. So I found my place with those. Yeah, so they're my passions. I love my potty calves and I love my sheep.
Yeah, I absolutely love that you're able to bring something in for you. And then you've also got your own children's clothing brand as well. So tell us about
my other passion project, Golden Acre Clothing. I opened that 2 years ago. I was made redundant from my full-time job. So we both have full-time jobs as well as the farm. I was made redundant, unfortunately, just a government contract had ended. And I had some time on my hands and I always love kids' clothing. So I thought, I'm a bit of a risk taker, so I just thought, here we go, let's just do it. I've had this business for 2 years. It's been a slow start. I think with the economy changing and people's spending habits changing, but I've loved building like the small community that I have, especially online. And it's so good because you go down, we have a general store close to us, and other mums coming up to you, oh, I know you from social media. We love seeing you. I love that community that it's generated. But yeah, that's my little other passion.
I absolutely love the denim overalls as well as the, what would you call them, the gumboot covers?
Yeah, the rubberalls.
Yes, and also wanted to give a shout out to the shirt range that you have for kids, because it's so hard to find kids' work shirts that go down to the sizes that you have as well as that fit for their actual age range. So love that you've got t-shirts as well as work shirts there as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they're our favourite, and I'm a firm believer in like protecting your kids out on the farm as well, especially from, we get some pretty extreme heats when it's summer. So those work shirts are absolutely perfect, and I cannot think of anything better to protect my kids.
Absolutely. Love that you've been able to find a multiple combination of passions to follow while you've been on farm to help with yourself, to help with off-farm income, and to be able to really create a beautiful balance between farm, family, and business. With balancing that, how would you say you go around making everything fit? Because that's lots of different cogs in motion.
So I'm very lucky. I have very supportive, like my mum and my dad, they live in town. And I also have super supportive in-laws. So when it comes to my business, my mother-in-law is really hands-on with the kids. In regards to farming, sometimes I've had to take a step back, especially having the kids. I can't just jump straight into like the cattle yards with the kids. It's too dangerous. So in the past year or so, I've had to take a little bit of a sidestep. I'm on the outside doing like the little jobs that people don't like to do, like passing through vaccinations through the fence. I don't know, putting up gates, things like that. So your role kind of changes, but you've still got an importance. But the kids do come first. So hopefully the kids can open gates soon so yeah. They can go to the job.
Absolutely. Diversify. Perfect. Ricky Lee, that probably comes to the official end of my questions for the podcast. But is there any tips, tricks, advice that you would like to provide to the Ultimate Farm Wife community when moving to the farm for the first time?
Trust your in-laws. They are a wealth of knowledge. They've lived out, my in-laws have lived out here their whole lives. They are the strongest people I know. They are hard workers, and they will be your biggest supporter. Mm. I feel like the in-laws really get behind you. Trust them. They know a lot of things. Ask them for help. They will help.
I'm so glad that you've got that wealth of knowledge and you've got that support system on farm. So thank you so much for coming on today's podcast. I know that the community will take lots of different tips, tricks and advice away with them to be able to implement into their own family farming business journey. So thank you so much, Ricky, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Just a reminder that Katja Williams, the Ultimate Farm Wife, is also a Tupperware consultant. Use the link in the show notes to make sure that you're supporting the Ultimate Farm Wife podcast and channel. Whether you are looking for unique pieces for your kitchen, replacement items, or whether you are looking for something suitable to taking food and lunches down the paddock, not only in our current busy season, but also to barbecues, parties, or if you're looking for Christmas gifts, this is the ideal link for you. Thank you very much for joining us in this episode, and we look forward to seeing you in another one.